All right, turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4. Today is February the 14th, which is a special day for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's the birthday of somebody that we love very much. That's the first reason. Secondary to that is this is a day devoted to love. This entire day is devoted to love, and I think it's wonderful to have a day devoted to love. So for that reason, all of our messages today will be around the subject of love. And we're going to use 1 John 4 for a text all day. We'll be here in this Bible study, the message, and tonight. Now, the Apostle John is the one who wrote or penned the Gospel of John. You know, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Apostle John is the one who penned the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, not John the Baptist. That's what I thought, you know, when I was younger. I always thought it was John the Baptist. It wasn't John the Baptist. It was the Apostle John. And John was very much in tune with the theme of love. I guess we could say that he was the writer of love. He wasn't the only one, but he was very much a writer of love. He is the one who penned, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved." That was the reason. God so loved. John is the one who would not refer to himself by name. As you read through the Gospel of John, he always called himself the one who Jesus loved. He wouldn't say his own name. The one who Jesus loved. Throughout the book of 1 John, he keeps saying things like, if you look at chapter 2, verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Right here in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Chapter 3, verse 1 is where he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Verse 14, he said, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Chapter 4, verse 7, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." And then here in chapter 4, he says the word love. If you just skim down through it, you'll see the word love in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Chapter 5, verse 1, he said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." And then he continued the theme in 2 John, verse 1. It says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." 3 John 1 says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." So that's his theme. Love, love, love. Love is a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing. And what I'd like for us to see in this Bible study is at the end of chapter 4, verse 8. Look with me at 1 John 4, verse 8. The last three words of the verse say, God is love. And that's the title of this Bible study. God is love. Now, in our text here, let's read through the first eight verses and look at the context of what he's saying. And then I want us to spend our time focusing on what it means to say that God is love. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for giving us an avenue to preach the gospel to the city, to people outside of this, because I want people to know this so badly. Nothing here is said without reason, without cause. Everything that's said right here has to be said right here. It's all in the context of love. And I want people to know this. I want people to see this. And I pray the Lord will open our eyes to this right here. All right, chapter 4, verse 1. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." That word spirit translates soul, wind. And it's referring to preachers. Preachers who are instructing spiritual matters. Okay? Here I am, a soul. This hot air is coming out, this wind. Preacher standing up and instructing spiritual matters. And he said in verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, do we know that that's so? I ask questions knowing that the Lord has blessed us and revealed the answer to us. But do you realize how blessed we are to know that that's so? You know how many people don't know that that's so? Many false preachers are in the world. Many, many, many. One of the number one things that our Lord warned of while he walked this earth, if you go through the Gospels and just read what he said, one of the number one things that he warned of was, beware of false preachers. Beware of false preachers who are not preaching the truth of this word. If you get time, read Matthew 7. Just read what he said in so many other places. But honestly, do we realize how many false preachers there are in the world? Have we ever really stopped to realize how many false preachers there are in the world? Do we realize how many false preachers there are in Kingsport? Do we realize that? How many false preachers there are in Kingsport? Many of them. Now, I know that's offensive to say. I know it is, but we need to be warned of it. Our Lord warned us of this because we need to be warned of it. You hear this and say, what does that have to do with God's love? We'll see. We're going to see. Verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." All right. How can we know the difference? If we're supposed to beware and try the spirits, how can we know the difference in a true preacher and a false preacher? Verse 2. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." The soul, the wind, the message, the teaching that's of God. He went on to say, "Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Is that what he said? Did I read that correctly? No, I did not. That's not what he said. This is what he said. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The difference in a true declaration of God and a false declaration of God has everything to do with that word Christ. Everything to do with it. What that word Christ means. Who is it that came? Who is it that came? This is what the word Christ means. It means Messiah. Boy, that just rolls off people's tongues. It means Emmanuel. That just rolls off the tongue. What does that mean? It means God. It means God. It means God. God. Not God's helper. Not God's messenger. It means God. That word Christ means the sovereign. It means the controller, the author, the finisher, the Christ. Our Lord asked Peter one time, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter said, "They say all kinds of things. They have it wrong. Good things. Some of them are calling you Jeremiah. Some of them you call, you know, Elijah. But they have it wrong." He said, "Peter, who do you say I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." The Christ. Now, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." That means the false religion, the false preachers of the world, they speak the things of the world. And I don't recommend you listen to them. But if you hear them, you will hear them speak the things of the world. True preachers preach Christ. And they talk about Christ and they point men to Christ. But preachers of the world, false preachers, they preach the things of the world. And these preachers of the world speak the things of the world and they declare these lies to the world. Because that's what the world wants to hear. They tickle the ears of the world because that's what they want to hear. They tell things that are contrary to God's word. Just so contrary because it's what the world wants to hear. And the number one thing that they lie about, I mean, this is eye-opening right here. If you want to get to the heart of false religion, the number one thing they lie about is God's love. That's the number one thing they lie about. Their message revolves around God's love, and it's all a lie. False religion is built on the lie of who God loves. And we know it's so. We know the mindset. Who God loves. Where God loves. Why God loves. when God loves, they say, speaking on behalf of God. It scares me so badly to speak on behalf of God. That's why I only want to repeat His words, because it scares me so badly. I just can't imagine the thought of getting up here and flippantly saying, well, now you know God says, you better make sure. You better make sure they get up in the name of God, declaring on God's behalf. They say, God loves everybody. That's not what God said. They say, now, if you will do this, God will love you for it. That's not what God said. One of the greatest lies on God in the world is in regard to God's love. Thankfully, though, God's people won't hear it. They just won't hear it, and they won't believe it. And the reason is because He keeps saying, you're not of the world. They are not of the world. They are of God. Look at verse 6. He said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And that doesn't mean Gabe Stonaker and everybody else who stands here. That means the apostles that God called to write His words. He that knoweth God hears us. The soul that knows God will hear the truth of God's word. They will read it. They will hear it. They'll be settled on it. They'll say, amen, that's right. I know it goes against everything you hear in the world, but this is not of the world. This is of God. And He said in verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, that's who He's speaking to, every soul that God chose to be loved. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He keeps saying God. You'll hear, as I'm reading that, you're hearing God, God, over and over again. That has everything to do with Christ. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, let's consider for just a minute what it truly means to say God is love. Because this is what the Scriptures have to say about it. And we are going to dwell on love today. We just have to say this first. If we're going to see the fullness of what He has to say about love, we have to see this first. We have to start right here. All right, this is what the Scripture has to say about God and love. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Now the heading at the top of my page says, idolatry is not to be inquired after. He's warning against idolatry here, which is false religion. Verse 31, Deuteronomy 12, 31. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which He hateth. You see that word? Have they done unto their gods? For even their sons and their daughters have they burnt in the fire to their gods. He said, I hate the abomination of idolatry, false religion. It's not just wrong. We, if the Lord has revealed the truth to us, you see error as being wrong. But it's not just wrong. He said, I hate it. I hate it. He said, I hate their buildings. We can go through and read. I hate their buildings. I hate the wood of their idols. I hate everything about it. And God said that. God said that. Look at Deuteronomy 16, verse 22. And again, my heading at the top says, idolaters to be slain. Idolaters to be slain. Verse 22, neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. He said, I hate the images of false religion. I hate them. You know, you say, well, man, that's strong language. I know. But God is the one who said it. God is saying this. Turn with me to Psalm 11. Psalm 11, verse 5, it says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. People say, well, he hates the sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner. That's not what he said right here. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Look at Psalm 5. Psalm 5, verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Men are willingly ignorant of this today. Just willingly ignorant of the truth concerning God. Turn over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, lying on God, lying on his love, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. All through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Zechariah, Malachi, God said, I hate, I hate, I hate. These are the things that I hate. Malachi 1:3, he said, you know I hated Esau and laid his heritage waste. People say, yeah, but that was the God of the Old Testament. You know, he's not like that in the New Testament. He's changed. He said, I change not. The same yesterday, today, forever. One more. Go to the last book of the New Testament, Revelation. All right, this is the very last one. This is the same God. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 6. Revelation 2, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. In verse 15, he called it the doctrine. He's talking about their false religion. Verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He said, this is what I hate, and I deal with everything and everyone that I hate. All right. How then can we say that God is love? How can we say that? Have we now seen what is written? He has written himself in his own words. After seeing that, how can we say that God is love? I thought God was love. He is. But it's only in one place. And our brother keeps saying it. And I like it. It's only in one place. This is what I want Kingsport to know. Now, here's the truth concerning God's love. God is love, but only in one place. It is so specific. One place. I'm telling you, this is the honest truth. Outside of this one place, I mean only one place, outside of this one place, God is angry, God is wrath, God is vengeance, God is judgment. That's what He is. Let the truth be known. God is love, but only in one place. Where is that place? In Christ. In Christ. This is why that word Christ is so important. So important. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 38, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." All of the love of God is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's what that means. God loves Christ. That's what it means. God loves Christ. God is holy and perfect, and God can only love what is holy and perfect, and that's Christ alone. That's Christ alone. God loves Christ. And God loves everyone who is in Christ, covered in Christ. God is love, but that love that the Father has for sinners, it really is for sinners. That love is only in the sacrifice. It's only in the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that covers the sin. The sin has to be covered. Outside of that sacrificial work, outside of what the Scripture calls the atonement, that means the covering of Christ, there is no love from God. There is none. Do you think it would have been true? Do you think it would have been a true declaration, one that men and women could have believed and cling to and hung their soul on, had Noah put a bumper sticker on the outside of the ark that said, "Smile, God loves you"? Do you think that would have been a true declaration on God? One that all those people in that day could have cast their soul on. "Smile, God loves you. You are special to God." That's what the world says. That's what the world wants everybody to know. Oh, you're special to God. you smile. God loves you. He has such a wonderful plan for your life. Do you think that would have been a true declaration had Noah put that on the outside of the ark? A true declaration of God's love. Not outside the ark. No, not outside the ark. In that moment when the flood of God's judgment came down, God was love in that moment, but only inside the ark. There was one place. Outside of that ark, it was nothing but anger and wrath and vengeance and justice. But inside that ark, it was love. It was absolute love. Inside that ark, it could be said to every soul that was in there, you smile because God loves you. He loves you inside this ark. That ark was Christ. To have Christ is to have the love of God. To be in Christ is to be in the love of God. If we're in Christ, nothing can separate us from that love. Now, knowing that, I want to spend the other two messages today going deeper into that love. That had to be said, that had to be established before we can get into God's love. So in just a minute, we're going to hear John say, herein is love. If you really want to know what love is, here it is. And I pray the Lord will make us ready for it, speak to us on it. All right, you're dismissed.